Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello, welcome, and I have to say, right at the beginning of the show, this is Donna Sebo, and we are going to be giving some extra time to the ladies of the listening audience. And guys, listen up, because if sometimes you feel like you don't understand women at all, maybe this is going to be a show that'll give you an inside track on the way women think, the way women feel, and why so many times they will be on the phone with a dear friend until the wee hours of whatever, because they've got to really unload what's on their mind. My guest this evening is Deborah Olson. She is a woman's emotional health specialist. She has been doing this work for well over 20 years. She's in Houston, Texas, and she was told by women after a seminar, you need to write this book. You need to put what you've been sharing with us into this book. And that is how the healing power of girlfriends, how to create your best life through female connection. Ladies, if you're feeling isolated, listen up, because I think this can make a difference in your thinking, in your attitude, and generally in your life. Deborah Olson, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Donna. It's great to be here.
Deborah, you told me before we went on air that you really are very, very much committed to enabling women to have a much better life. And I told you that there were two terms that you put right in the introduction that I just dearly loved. Those words were verbal vomiting. And I think most guys, if they would listen in on the women's conversation, they'd say, oh, please, that is so true. What is it about us that when we're with those people that we have as a friend and we trust, that we just want to spill our guts?
Yes, exactly. It's just how we are wired. We have been wired by our creator, wired by God, to have this innate desire for connection with other females. And it comes from a place deep within us. Guys are not designed the same way, but we surely are. And when we gather with our girlfriends and we chat and we do that thing we call verbal vomiting, we really do gain the most physical and emotional and mental benefit from it. So it's, we've been wired to do this. And when we do it, there's a chemical reaction that actually happens in our bodies. And it really allows us to have a physical benefit that really is a great, now they're doing all this research and finding out that this is a great benefit. And it's what they're linking longevity to in women that celebrate their girlfriends on a regular basis.
Now, guys will get together and they chat and they talk, but they're, like you said, their communication patterning is much different. Women want to know that they can just express. They don't have to be Miss Shirley Temple, where you're dancing, you know, to whatever music comes up, and you just say, oh, life is simply wonderful and perfect, and it isn't. It's tough. When you're a mom, you have kids, you've got a job, you're doing all of these things, having someone that you can be in touch with, and I firmly believe in the phone connection, but sometimes it's just going out and saying, I have had a bad hair day. I need to go get my vanilla latte with 14 Splendas in it instead of sugar so that I can get myself together. Will you join me? This is so necessary. It really, really is. And yet I find that so many women are afraid of this. They have, what is it in our environment, Deborah, that has disfranchised that type of communication that women really, really need to have with other women. Why do you think this has gotten to be such a point of discomfort?
I think a lot of it is just our culture. I think part of it is there's a lot of factors that play into that, and you're exactly right. Some of the factors have to do with women have so much on their plates today, whether they're working professionals without children or whether they're balancing working outside the home plus being a full-time mom, or whether they're just, and I don't mean just, but whether they're strictly a full-time, very busy mom. That's a huge job. So no matter what their reality looks like, they do so much for so many people. They wear so many hats. And carving out time to meet a girlfriend at Starbucks or for a latte somewhere is a luxury for some people. They feel they're too busy to take time to do that, that it's a luxury they can't afford. If the baby gets sick or there's something that happens, the girlfriend lunch is the first thing that goes off the calendar. And I'm saying that from my own experience because I've done that.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever anything starts to happen and there's curveballs coming at you in life, the first thing we do is say, oh, that lunch date that I was going to have with my girlfriend Friday, guess what? I'm going to call her and cancel because I don't have time for that now.
Mm-hmm.
When in fact, that's the very thing we should not cancel. That's what's going to help us. If we meet with our girlfriend, there's a whole chemical thing that happens and our stress levels go down. All of our body systems are affected in a positive way by gathering with our girlfriend and talking and having that connection and that intimacy that we get from time with girlfriends. So it's the one thing I tell my clients, don't cancel that lunch with your girlfriend. Find some other solution, but don't cancel. Don't give that time up. We need that. That face-to-face connection is the premium thing we can do to help ourselves.
I find it so interesting that we women make it okay for the guys to go and have their buddy times, but we don't make that mm-hmm. okay for ourselves.
Yes.
And that's exactly what you're addressing in your comments. Now, you did something on your own, and that was you put out a questionnaire that consisted of five questions. You wanted to know first
yes.
the demographics of age, which was fine. What does friendship mean to you? What are your expectations of female friendships? What do you think you bring to your friendships with other women? All things being equal, is there anything you'd like to be different in any of your female friendships? What do you see as a benefit from you, for you, from friendships with women? What was the most surprising fact that came out of that data research that you did?
I think the most surprising fact when I looked at all the demographics and all the questions, and I looked at everything after it was all summed up and I kept, you know, trends, I kept track of trends within age groups and I looked at the demographics of the different states because these went from West Coast to East Coast. I distributed these to over 10 states. So I looked at all of that information looking for trends. But what I found at the end of the day, and this is what was my biggest surprise, is that women everywhere, no matter the age, no matter what state they live in, they all want the same thing. They want an intimate friendship with a girlfriend where they can trust, where they can share their secrets if they choose to, and they know that those will be safe with that person, somebody who's vulnerable with them, somebody who's authentic with them. Everybody wants the same thing, and it doesn't really matter the age, whether they were 20-something or over 60. I got the same types of answers on so many of these questions.
Mm-hmm. I think that this is something in our social media age that many of our young girls are not really that aware of. And I think as adult women, it behooves us to encourage good friendships, because sometimes those friendships, when you start the patterning of developing friendships with people, they can last past high school, college. It is mm-hmm. really amazing. But you can make a new friend. Life puts us into different scenarios and situations, and sometimes people that we've considered friends go by the wayside, and it's not because mm-hmm. of anything bad necessarily. It's just lifestyles change and we change as individuals. And so there's a need to be aware that we're going to grow. We're going to mm-hmm. be able to open up to new friendships. And I think that that is so important. Now, you have a section in your publication, The Healing Power of Girlfriends, that's about aging in friendship. You are approaching this topic. Why?
Yes, that's a really exciting new finding, and I am so pumped about this. We have a category of what is called super agers in our society. They are people 80 and above. And they are people that now through the research we're finding, they are cognitively much younger. We're saying decades younger, 20 to 30 years younger cognitively, these super agers, because they have stayed very vital, very involved with girlfriends, very much a part of an active life, and they're vibrant and they're enjoying life and they're much younger. And so these super agers, I am now talking to on my book tours. I've just come back from California and Arizona, where I talked to a group of super agers at some very nice retirement communities. And these people in the front row, many of them that were girlfriends there, all of them were 80 and above. One lady was almost 100. If you would have listened to her talk and if you would have looked at her, she looked decades younger than what she actually was, because she's very much involved in life, and she has these dear friendships. Lots of these super agers are actually widows now.
Mm-hmm.
But even through the new chapter of being a widow, which is a difficult time, they are able to thrive. And I do mean that, thrive with these wonderful friendships that they have, whether they're 80-something or 90-something, their loving wife. And I've talked with these ladies one-on-one, and you just are blown away by how young they are. They're articulate. They can carry on a wonderful conversation with you about anything, and they tell you how happy they are. And these friendships are so important to them. So it's a real thing, and the research is what's been really coming at us through the last couple of years. They've done so much new research, and I looked at all that before I wrote my book. And a lot of that research is included in my book. And I wanted to really highlight that this new finding about super agers, it's so hopeful. Who doesn't want to sign up for that? We all want to age in a way that we stay as young and as vibrant as we can. And if the secret to that is by staying connected regularly with our girlfriends, hey, bring it on, right? Let's do this.
I agree. And I think it's important to realize that sometimes you can, as a younger person, make a friendship with an older individual, an older woman.
Yeah.
And I know how much that meant to me when I was in my 20s. And mm-hmm. it was something that I just delighted in, being around older women. Now, there were certain older women I didn't want to spend 5 minutes with, but there were those that inspired me. And I think of a woman, and I've mentioned this on my show before, that I happened to see interviewed by a group of people from a college. And at the youthful age of 93, she had gotten her bachelor's degree. The school flew out because she's in a senior citizen facility in a wheelchair. She's bright as she can be. She's just so cognizant. And they ask her, why in the world, because she's their oldest student, why in the world did you even bother to get a bachelor's degree? You're 93 years old, for God's sake. Why? She said, television's boring. And there she goes. She's off and she's running. She said, I think I'm going to sign up for a master's. Now, this is the kind of an attitude. This is a kind of attitude that if we can embrace it and realize that we're not alone, that there are those people we can keep company with that might be older, that can be inspiring to me. I have a friend in L.A. She's almost 90 years old. I think she's turning 90 this year. You'd never know it. She looks mm-hmm. like she's in mm-hmm. her late 50s. And this isn't because she's had Botox from the tip of her toes to the top of her head. No, she goes to work every day. 10 a.m. to 6 to 4, 10 to 4, Monday through Saturday. She works. She delights in it.
Yeah.
It keeps her vibrant. This is fabulous.
Yes, It really is. And your point about having friends that are different ages is something I address in the book. And one of the things that I have seen, and I've actually lived it myself, so I know it's true, is that I have friends that are fairly new friends, actually. And I do talk about making new friends and how to do that across the lifespan, because that's a big deal for a lot of people. And some of my new friends are the age of my adult children.
Uh-huh.
So they're in their 30s.
Uh-huh.
And yet we're friends. We're girlfriends as if we were the exact same age. So what I tell people is, don't ever let age get you hung up to where you don't either reach out to that new friend, or whether you are maybe older and you want to be more of like, you know, a mentor friend to them. You know, bring that on, because they benefit from it and you benefit from it. I have friends that are older than me too. I have friends that are a couple decades older than me, and I love those people. They bring something very special to the friendship table, and they're vibrant, like you just said, and they're young, much younger. They are super agers, actually. They're 20 to 30 years younger cognitively than their actual age. So I'm a big believer, don't ever let age define who your friends should be.
Mm-hmm. And this is something that throughout your book, you go into various perspectives, paradigms for perceiving friendship. I think also we have to be open to receiving friendship. Now, that
yes.
is huge. I have known women, when the hand of friendship has been extended to them, they feel so vulnerable that they go, oh, gee whiz, I just can't discuss something because that means that I'm weak. You know, there's this perception, I know, because I've been guilty of it myself, that you don't want to be with someone that you cannot be totally honest with. And
right.
We're not only going to have bad hair days, but we're going to have days where sometimes we just want to sit and cry. That's all.
Right.
You just sit and
yes.
cry. And if someone's with you, you know, if you can call them up and just say, I need to just talk about this crap that's going on. My washing machine just broke. The dog's got diarrhea.
Yeah.
All four of my kids
yeah.
have got the measles. And you go, oh, sweetie, can you fix yourself a cup of tea? Let's chat.
Yes.
I know that sounds
right.
like something out of a cartoon sequence, but believe me, folks, that happens. And it just seems like Murphy's Law sometimes works against you, and you need someone that you can talk to. There, you don't
mm-hmm.
want them to fix you. What you want to do is just verbally vomit. I like those
yes.
two words. I really do. I think it's such a good description.
It is, right? It's very descriptive, and it's just so... It's so accurate, because I love to walk into like a restaurant or somewhere where there's a table of women and just observe them. And I do this a lot, you know, that's the psychologist in me, I guess. But I do a lot of just behavior observation out in the real world. And I pay attention to how women are interacting with each other. And when you get a table full of ladies together, everybody's talking a mile a minute. The heads are nodding. There's laughing. It's wonderful. And that's because that's exactly how we've been designed. We're doing exactly what we're supposed to do, because the benefits that come from that, again, the physical and emotional benefits, are huge. So it's something that is real. And the more connected we are, the more we have these face-to-face meetings with our girlfriends, the more we get that payback in terms of the health benefits.
I agree.
They're now finding, and this is the cool thing, Donna, is the research now says, I mean, this is accurate. This is true. This is really neat stuff that prestigious universities around the country have been coming to this conclusion, that women, when they practice this daily routine of calling a girlfriend, connecting with a girlfriend, gathering with them for lunch, when they have those nice connections with their friends on a regular basis, it does something chemically to our body and to our organs and our body systems. And we then live healthier and happier. And most importantly now, what they have found is we live longer.
Mm-hmm. I think all of that makes life richer. I want to address a side, though, that we haven't touched on, and that is establishing boundaries. I was in a conversation with a woman that was telling me how there are women, maybe their husbands have died, they've got a large home, they're having a financial challenge, and so they want to rent rooms out. And there are many single women whose incomes, we're talking about the older generation, but not necessarily. I've known younger women that have been in the same scenario, and they would like to live, and they think with each other. And this woman actually goes about doing assessments so that the right people will be, you know, compatible, because as she said, yeah, you might have someone you dearly love as a friend, but living with them is something else. So boundaries, and that's the reason I'm bringing it up. She has to work with what are the boundaries? You know, what are you going to be experiencing when you share the same physical space with another person? What are the boundaries that need to be honored and respected? So let's talk about that, because that is really important.
Sure. Sure, boundaries and friendships, and I just wrote an article about this not very long ago. I was approached by a journalist who was looking for some professionals to weigh in on this topic and boundaries and friendships and how do you navigate through those troubled waters. Boundaries are really healthy for all of us, even in our marriages, in our relationships with our children, and especially with friendships. Boundaries are just a very healthy part of a relationship, and they operate best when we utilize those boundaries in a healthy way. So what we need to always remember is that we all have a right to have space around us that is, it belongs to us. We're autonomous, independent human beings. We have a right to say what we want and what we don't want. And we have a right to have those boundaries respected by other people. So if I'm in a friendship and I feel that this friend that I'm in this friendship with is not respecting that boundary and is treating me either in a toxic way or an unfair way, it's up to me to then have that conversation with that person and let them know that I really enjoy the friendship, I really enjoy them, but there's this issue we need to chat about a little bit regarding some boundary issues. We need to sort through that so that they can understand where I'm coming from and we can figure out how to have this be healthier for everybody.
I think that is so important, because not everybody you meet are you going to want to have as a buddy. I mean, that's just a fact, and that's not good or bad. Right. That's just the way human relationships are. And you will find that there will be those that you look forward to the opportunity of being with that person because you really enjoy being with them, even though you may be very different in opinions. Again, it's that aspect of trust. It is that, what I want to say, civility, the willingness to say, you've really had a lousy day, and it's okay. How can I just be just a listener for you? I think that's something for we women that we really, really yearn for. We really yearn to be heard. And usually when we're listened to, that's where the guys often get in trouble, because they don't necessarily want to listen. They don't. They want to tell us how to do something or the best way to do it. Again, this is something that has to be learned. And then, you know, women will go about doing whatever it is they're going to do, and a guy will sit there scratching his head, and they said, gee, I thought her life was falling apart. That happened to me once. I was in this real lousy mood, and I'll never forget, I was in my 20s, and this guy, he was talking with me. Oh, I was so depressed, and I was talking about things, and I was just really, really in a down space. He calls me the next day. I said, hello. He said, gee, I was really concerned about you last night. I said, you don't need to be. I'm fine. He said, how did you do that? He said, yes. I don't get it. This was really heavy stuff, and you're fine? You know, less than 24 hours, and I'm happy, and I'm perky, and I've resolved something, and he's going, I just don't get it. So, you know, this is what happens with us many times. And I like what you said about how to avoid unhealthy new friendships, because those do come up. And your points are, keep your eyes open. Drama queens are not welcome. Amen to that one. And if someone's especially needy, check that at the friendship door. And you've got to keep antennae up for toxic people. Boy, that is the truth. That is the truth. What is the experience that you can relate regarding that?
Well, in my world of being a therapist and working with clients, and primarily I work only with women, so through the years I've heard many stories, and I have many clients that have dealt with these types of scenarios where they're in a friendship and this person is like a drama queen. She's just always getting set off by something. She's never happy, and there's always drama every around every corner. Well, that gets old in a friendship. And so we've had to kind of walk through that and figure out what are some solutions. Do you want to keep the friendship with her? And if so, how can we work with this? And then the toxic friends, I'm a big believer in, with toxic friends, you've got to assess whether or not that friendship is something you want to keep, because very often people that are toxic aren't going to change. They may, if you tell them that this friendship is not working and, you know, you feel like that this friendship is looking real toxic to you, and you know, you don't, and you might give examples of some things that really bother you. But very often, the chances are that person is not going to change. This is just how they are. It's how they operate. It's just who they are and what they do. And so you can say that this doesn't work for you. They may decide that, well, that's tough. This is how I operate. So I guess it's over. So a lot of times when you address a toxic friend, the friendship doesn't last. Mm-hmm. And I am a believer, if the friendship feels toxic to you, and there's a lot of pieces that go into, you know, toxic friendships, they have certain traits. But when that friendship feels toxic and it doesn't feel like a kind, safe place to be authentic and be genuine, then it may be a toxic friendship, and you need to really make the decision whether it's time to pull out of that. Because as I tell people, you don't have to settle for a friendship that doesn't feel good. Mm-hmm. There's lots of awesome people out there. They're looking for you. And go out there and find them. There's great people out there to be friends with. We don't have to settle for people that are toxic.
Absolutely true. I really like Oprah Winfrey's quote that you have in here. Everyone wants to ride with you in the limo, but what you want is someone who'll take the bus with you when the limo breaks down. Amen to that one. Friendships are priceless. And I have been blessed with friendships that have lasted for so many years. And even though we're in different states, we have walked a journey, though we've been separated by time and distance, there's still that open conversation. And it's as if we just pick up that conversation where we left off, no matter what the time space might be. And you bring this out in your book, The Healing Power of Girlfriends, How to Create Your Best Life Through Female Connection. Deborah Olson, this has been absolutely delightful. Now, you have a website that shares a lot of the information that you have in the book, the research that you've come up with, and your website is GalleriaCounseling.com, GALLERIA, counseling.com. What thought would you like to leave with my listeners before we say goodbye?
Well, this has been just great tonight, Donna, to spend time going over a lot of the main features of the book that I feel are just so powerful. And one of the questions that I get asked by so many people when I'm out touring, I've just been all over with my book tour for the last 3 months, and I'm going to be going to Florida soon and some other states. And one of the things that people have asked me when I'm out touring is, what has been your biggest surprise about people's reaction to your book? And what I say to that is, it's the shock and the awe of girlfriend fever. when I get out there and meet people and I'm signing my books and selling my books and they're standing in front of me and they're telling me their stories and they're pouring out their hearts and they're saying, this book is going to be so important. I'm giving it to my daughter. Her husband just got out of ICU. Her girlfriends have been there in the ICU waiting room with her for the last month. And the girlfriends have been what's kept her alive and afloat. So your message is so important. And I've got to get my daughter your book so that she can read it and understand the healing power of girlfriends. And every place I go, there's more of these stories. And so the shock and the awe of girlfriend fever and just seeing how people relate to this message and this message is resonating with people no matter the age, no matter the demographics or the states that I'm in, the message is resonating with everyone and it's so important so we can live our healthiest, longest, and best lives to grab our girlfriends and let's celebrate those friendships.
I agree. Deborah Olson, it's been a pleasure having you as a guest this evening. I wish you nothing but the best with your book tour and what you are experiencing. It's been wonderful having you this evening. Take care.
Thank you so much, Donna. Thank you.
This is Donna Sebo, and we are going to be taking a break shortly. When we come back, by golly, that telephone line is open. Yes, it is. And if you would like to chat with me, all you have to do is pick up that telephone, give me a call at 253-582-5597. That's the studio number, and I will be available to talk to you in this second half hour. In the meantime, a short break, and I'll be right back.
You're listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you'd like to have an opportunity to be featured on this program or Warriors for Peace heard Wednesdays, please send a copy of your publication along with your contact information to The Donna Sebo Show, Post Office Box 97272, Lakewood, Washington 98497. Please allow 6 to 8 weeks for review of the publication. Again, the mailing address is Post Office Box 97272, Lakewood, Washington 98497.
Everybody has a book inside them. Authentic Health, Essential Oils. And then this Friday, I will have an open mic for the entire hour. We have so many wonderful people on this planet, and for them to take the time to write out what their experiences are, what research they've discovered, there's so many awesome things that we as one individual can't possibly be engaged in, but through the power of the printed word, through a book, through the storytelling that people put out there to share with us, we are empowered in a whole new way. And being open and receptive to different perceptions, regardless of our cultural background, our gender, no, it doesn't make any difference. We're always in a position to learn something new. And that is something that, I just delight in doing this show. I had the opportunity to be in the Gig Harbor, Washington Art and Book Festival. And you meet so many talented people. When I look at the various artistic expressions, it's unlimited. And I've had the privilege of meeting a number of very fine authors at the event. Of course, I, being a children's author, was there promoting my material as well, as and also the radio show. But when you talk to people, you find their stories. You hear their stories. And when you get a chance to really have the time and you listen, it is amazing, absolutely amazing what they share. So it's something here, we get an opportunity with this program to sort of be in, you might say, the living room of the universe that allows us to visit. It enables us to take the time to have conversation. So if you would like to know about the upcoming guests, well, you've got options. You hear me say this every show. But you need to know about these options because you can take advantage of any one of them. First one, sign up for the monthly newsletter. That comes out just once a month. I'm not one of these people that sends out a gazillion whatever's I just don't do that. That goes out the first of every month. Then you can also check on the websites, DelphiInternational.com, MrsSebosClassics.com. We have the calendars up there, and we have the daily showings of who's coming on the show on the Donna Sebo Show page. But also, my assistant Deb, if you like us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter, and you click that follow button, she shares with you the information that I give to her about the guests that are coming up on the program. And wow, we have got a fabulous lineup coming up for the month of August. Oh, it's just an incredible lineup. So all of this is available to you 24/7. And I know many times you're busy working and you're saying, oh, I missed this show. Donna's going to have this guest and I'd really like to hear about this subject matter. That's all right. Just make a note to yourself of the show that you've missed and go on in to the archives. The shows are there. We have hundreds of them available for you. So if you get bored, you can go and listen to one show right after the other if you're doing something monotonous on the computer, because there's always good things to share. Donna Sebo here, 253-582-5597. And if you're tuning into the show for the first time, if you would like to let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, all you have to do is give me a buzz, 253-582-5597, and I will give you what I perceive about you, what's going on in your life. And, you know, if you have a question, you can ask it, and I'll give you what I perceive. So that is always possible. And don't forget, on the 26th of this month, I will have an open mic hour. So you can call anytime from the beginning of the show to the end of the show. I don't do an open mic very often, but I think every once in a while it's a good thing to do. And I do know that a lot of you listen to the shows at a different time than when I'm airing live. But just know that that is available to you. Okay, I have all kinds of things that I wanted to share with you this evening. One of the things I'm going to share with you is a recipe for Middle Eastern cooking. And I am really a fan of Middle Eastern cooking. I have such fond memories of a woman that we called Mama. She was Lebanese, and oh, could she cook? I mean, when you walked out of her house after one of her meals, you felt like you were a waddling whatever. Just, man, but you were happy. Oh, boy, were you happy, because she fixed the most delicious food. Well, there is a recipe called tabbouleh. And this is a salad. It was a Middle Eastern salad. And I'll never forget when I was first introduced to it. I didn't particularly care for scallions in it, but I loved the flavors because there's mint and there's lemon in it. It's made with whole wheat bulgur. It's really, really good. And it was something I was surprised at how delicious it was and refreshing. Well, it makes for a wonderful summer salad. It makes for a wonderful salad at any time, any place, anywhere, as far as I'm concerned. But especially during the summer because of the flavors that are in it. And then there is a meat dish called kibbeh. And I have wonderful warm memories of Mama Nash bringing all of this kibbeh out. She would make pans. I mean, we're talking about roasting pans, just barely able to fit into the oven. And she would feed a tribe of people. And nobody ever, ever wanted to leave her house without having some of the quote-unquote leftovers, because the kibbeh was absolutely delicious. And, of course, there's a process with it, so I'm going to be sharing that with you. But before I do, I thought I'd share a little bit of history with you, and this had to do with technology. And we're going to step back to 1898. When we look at so much of what is around us today, we just take it for granted. But we have to remember a lot of the technology was evolving at a very fast rate in the 1800s, late 1800s, up through the early 1900s. Then World War I and World War II caused an even faster pace of technological accomplishment, especially for the evolution of computers. Yes, so we go quite a ways back with a lot of the technology that we are utilizing today in what we consider a very sophisticated manner. Well, this is about guns and what they called pneumatic gun. And it's obviously especially significant in warfare. And this is what was commented on in 1898. And the interest in dynamite guns was stimulated by the practical tests given to them in action during the late war with Spain in Cuba. Ah, yes, we have a history going back to the late 1800s, ladies and gentlemen, regarding Cuba. Now, there was a Sims Dudley Field gun at the front. It was very efficient, and it demonstrated to those that were operating this gun that it was in the hands of intelligent artillerymen, and it was very successful. However, in the fight of the Rough Riders before Santiago, Sergeant H.A. Burrow had charge of the gun. He said all of the action that they encountered, all of the 20 shots fired by the gun, really worked well. They're very destructive, but they do what they have been designed to do. So they said it was called a dynamite gun, and they could use any kind of explosive because it would effectively shoot that explosive. And the bore, think of this now, the bore of the gun is 2.5 inches. The length of the gun is about 14 feet. And it throws a projectile. And remember the Nobel Laureate Prize? Well, Mr. Nobel had introduced and invented what they called a gelatin. The projectile is 36 inches, weighs, when loaded, 11.5 pounds. Yes, the gentleman that set up the Nobel Peace Prize was the man that invented that explosive complement gelatin, they said, which is equal in destructive power to at least 80 pounds of ordinary powder. Now, you have to really be aware that this gun, they said, it is going to create a tremendous concussion of force, and it's equal to at least 80 pounds of ordinary gunpowder. So they had to be very careful with this, and that compressed air was used to generate the power of the thrust of the projectile they were using, and they used a smokeless powder. They said, it works. The gas that was produced by the action compressed the air in the tubes of the gun, and the air acted as a yielding cushion between the power and the projectile, as well as a transmitter of the force from one to the other. Do you know, in 1898, this particular gun, the pneumatic gun, known more as the dynamite gun, was so effective, the range of the gun was 1.5 to 2 miles. That was in 1898. History is really fascinating stuff. I'll tell you, it really amazes me. Okay, do you have a pad of paper and a pen handy? Let me share this recipe with you for a meat dish called kibbeh. Now, it is something like a meatloaf, but there is a difference with this. There is a texture that is really absolutely wonderful. Now, they make it typically, the Lebanese people and the people of the Middle East like to use lamb. And in the Lebanese culture, it is considered one of their national dishes. And it's served in all kinds of ways. You can stuff grape leaves with the kibbeh. You can, you know, fix just any number of dishes with it. But this is a basic recipe. And of course, every person that works with kibbeh has their own particular, spice additions they like to add. But this is a very basic one. You need 2 pounds of the loin of lamb. Needs to be trimmed of the fat, and you want to put it into cubes. And then you need 2 medium onions. They need to be minced. 1 teaspoon of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of pepper, and 2 cups of bulgur, cracked wheat. And you can get all of these, obviously, all of these ingredients at your local grocery store. Now, your meat, the traditional way of fixing this is that you pound the meat, the onions, the salt, and pepper until it is silky smooth. And the bulgur, you rinse in running water, and then you press to remove the moisture, and then you knead it into the meat. And then what you're supposed to do, now remember, this is the traditional way of fixing it. You continue to pound with a mallet or a pestle, dipped occasionally into cold water, until the kidney is moist and smooth. That could take you an hour. Well, let me tell you, with modern technology, the ladies don't choose to do that necessarily. What they do is they put it in a grinder. And the meat needs to be put in a grinder using the very finest blade that you possibly can use. First, you grind, you know, you put it through the grinder all by itself. And then you add your onions, putting it through the grinder again. And then you put the meat through the grinder a third time with your cracked wheat. And then you keep on grinding it. And you add a little ice water as you go along for smoothness. So instead of an hour, it might take you 20 minutes. It really is something, the texture of the meat is absolutely wonderful. And Mama Nash would put hers into, again, a large, you know, an appropriate dish. This is one that would like fit into a dish like a 13 by 9 inch glass dish. And then you can bake it if you want. And you have to figure out how long you want to bake it, in maybe about 30 minutes. It could be 45 minutes. Depends on your oven. I'd recommend a temperature of about 350 degrees, and you'll get a nice browned crust on the top. And it really, you know, it really works well. And in using 2 pounds, then you're going to have, I would say, dependent on the portion size, and Mama Nash would make what I would call triangles. You know, she would make diagonal cuts, and actually it looked like a diamond cut. And that way, then she was able to create the portions that she wanted to create. So it's up to you. But you could add spices to this. If you wanted to add some garlic to it, you could. Just remember, it has to be ground many, many times. And then tabbouleh is a salad that is just so easy to fix. You can take a cup of your fine bulgur cracked wheat, a cup of minced onions. I personally do not like the raw onions in it, so I leave that out. But you can put it in 1.5 cups of chopped parsley, 1/2 cup of chopped mint. You can use dried mint if you don't have the fresh mint available. 1 cup of chopped tomatoes, 1 cup of fresh lemon juice, and 3/4 cup of olive oil, and a little bit of salt and pepper to taste. And what you do, you soak your wheat in water for an hour. And then after that, you drain it out. And I recommend putting it in a towel and then just twisting the towel, and all the excess moisture will come out. Then you take and mix it in with your minced onions, if you use onions. And what that does, that brings out the oils of the onions. And then you add all of the other ingredients, the parsley, the mint, the tomatoes, the lemon juice, your little bit of salt and pepper. Mix it thoroughly. You can serve it with lettuce cups if you like. Sometimes people like to use pita bread and scoop it up with pita bread. Grape leaves, doesn't make any difference. You can just spinach leaves if you want, but they're not very big. But it's something that really is very refreshing during the summer. And you can make it up in advance, and because you've squeezed the moisture out of the wheat, then the wheat absorbs all these delicious flavors. So it's really, really a wonderful dish. And it's a healthy dish. You're using typically your fresh ingredients, and you've got a win-win there. Donna Sebo here, 253-582-5597. Now, tomorrow we're going to be talking with Dr. Vickery, and this is about authentic health. So much is changing in our understanding of wellness. You know, my guest talked about how women are healthier when they have good friendships, and this is so important. Social interaction with people, having those conversations and those relationships, they are so very, very special. But we're also realizing that when we have a community that we participate in, whether it's a professional community, it's our living community, wherever our community might be, all of that is so important. It really is significant. It makes all the difference in the world. Well, because we have got such a huge, huge concern about heart disease, and it affects so many people, and a lot of it can be worked with. And this is something that I think, fortunately, more men are paying attention to. This is so important. Part of that deal is you need to really be aware of how you take care of yourself. And more men are finding that this is important to them. They are seeing their friends around them many times, especially as they get older, having serious physical health problems that they wouldn't have if they took better care of themselves. Now, one of the things that creates a big concern is blood pressure. And you need to know that if you want to be sure that you understand what's happening with your blood pressure, buy one of these units and you can test them at home. But you need to be aware of the fact that exercise is really one of the best things that you can utilize, and it doesn't have to cost you anything, so that you keep your blood pressure in a very, very normal level. Now, what's the other term for the blood pressure problem? Hypertension. Typically, they feel like if you're over 130, you are pre-hypertension. Well, just remember one thing. When you go in for a blood pressure evaluation, don't just buy into the first one. If you're in the doctor's office and they say, oh, your blood pressure is so high, then just sit and rest for a minute. Remember to keep your feet flat on the floor. Sit in a chair. Have your arm that they're doing the blood pressure on at the level where you are supposed to have it, and relax. Most of us, when we go into the dentist or we go to the doctor's office, our blood pressure is always going to be higher. Why? Because we're anticipating something that's not particularly comfortable. When you have a chance to sit and relax, the people at the blood banks know this. They allow you to sit and relax, and they'll take your blood pressure a second time. Sometimes it takes two or three readings to get an accurate one. So don't get all excited when you go to the doctor. I don't care what your age is. And if they say this is really high, and maybe you test your blood pressure on your own and you find that it's perfectly normal, and if you're like me, it's sort of on the low blood pressure side, then by golly, you just say, let me sit for a while. But don't have your feet crossing at the ankles, because that will raise your blood pressure. And remember to be seated with your feet flat on the floor. It really does make a difference. What is some of the other stuff that we need to know aware of? It's just common sense stuff. You need to be aware that having good food is important. Get up and get out and go for a walk. If you are in an area like we are here in the Pacific Northwest, sometimes it's raining so hard you can't go anywhere. You're not going to be out walking in the rain. You're not going to be out there with heavy winds blowing and when boughs are going through the air. Or if it's extremely hot, it's not smart to be out there walking because you could easily have a heat stroke. You don't need that. So that's where finding a community gym that you can be in where you can do your walking, it's a great thing. We're so fortunate in today's world. We really, really are. And remember, there's so many people today that are having a challenge with their blood sugar. You need to know your glucose level, 100, between 100 and 150. No, that's what my husband was told. If it's over 150, you're in trouble. But you want to be sure that you monitor it and learn what works best for you and for your body. It is extraordinarily important. It really does make a difference. It makes a huge difference. And you just have to enjoy the chassis that you've got. It may not be perfectly perfect. And ladies, I know I'm just as bad as you are. I'm always concerned about my weight. And it's something that it seems like it's an ongoing battle. But remember, women are inclined to carry more fat than guys. So just get out there and be active and be aware. If you're eating 3 or 4 donuts every day, it doesn't take long for it to add an inch or two to your hips. It really, I don't know about you, but my Italian-German heritage, boy, it really doesn't take much for me to put on those extra pounds when I really don't want to have them there. It is just that efficient. But if you're active, if you're out there doing stuff, if you are really engaged in physical activity you enjoy, whether it's swimming, what have you, you're going to not only feel better, you're going to sleep better, and you're going to, your body's just going to feel better. We're meant to move. We are meant to move as human beings. And I think that's one of the reasons why we see so many kids that are really heavy. You look at old films of people in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and even the 60s, and you typically don't see fat kids. You won't. Why? Because they're out and about and they're running. They're outside. They're playing baseball. They're swimming. They're engaged in activity. They're not sitting in front of the television tube doing nothing and eating and eating and eating and eating. No, they're out being active. This is what we need to remember. Kids are meant to be that way. They are wired to be active. That is just the factor of the human condition. Donna Sebo here. I wanted to share a little bit of trivia and something else with you. And I know we're just about out of time, but I just had to share this. Since we were talking about women and friendship, ladies, what would you think if someone gave you a spider web dress? Actually made out of spiders' webs. When I saw this, I thought, how in the world did the man that put this together, first of all, how in the world did he ever manage to get that much spider silk, which is incredibly strong, to come together in a dress? Do you know that he actually used a Mexican tarantula spider? And the spider put out so much silk, I don't know how long it took him, but it made a spider web sundress. That's right. And I just looked at it and I said, oh my heavens. Oh, and remember, too, something about artificial intelligence. There was a robot that was built in Perm, Russia, and this occurred in 2016. I was surprised when I found this out. There was a robot. Its name was Promobot IR-77. It escaped from the lab that it had been developed in June of 2016, caused a traffic jam when its battery ran out in the middle of the street that it was crossing. This was a humanoid robot. It had been fitted with artificial intelligence of such a level that enabled them to learn new things, to learn from its experiences and surroundings. How did it get out of the lab? Well, there was an engineer that forgot to shut the gate in the laboratory's testing grounds. But you know what? They got it back to the lab, powered it up. It ran away again. I don't know if the scientists dismantled it or not, but that's for real. Yes, we are going to see artificial intelligence. Yes, we are. It's already there. But we're going to see data at some time in our life experience. Fascinating. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless, be well, and remember, you do make a difference. Share your time with people. Friends are so very, very special. And when you have that friendship, cultivating it, being civil with each other, I'll tell you, it adds richness to your life that can never, ever be replaced. Donna Sebo here. God bless. Be well. We'll be talking again soon. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.